This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 5:06. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn, and it's 5 on a Friday, which means that we're right at the cusp of the first long weekend of Malaysia, the first long weekend of 2021, I think. Monday, of course, is Federal Territories Day. And there was actually an interesting article in Bernama, which argues that despite the fact that we have seen continued development in the various federal territories during the MCO throughout 2020, there is still a sense of belonging that is lacking among KLites. And the idea here is that it's a sense of belonging, a sense of ownership, a sense of participation in Kuala Lumpur as a city. And they spoke to a few people about this. So one of them was Gula Muzaffar Gula Mustaqim, who is chairman of the Batu Parliamentary Constituency's Residents Representative Council. And Gulam basically said that developments to enhance the well-being of the people is not only about the city's administrators, but also the cooperation of the residents, arguing that when development projects are suggested, residents don't necessarily have the courage to come forward to contribute their ideas because they might feel the projects have nothing to do with them. And then conversely, when something happens and then they're not happy with it, they blame local authorities for not caring about the people. And so he goes on to argue that residents need to change their mentality, develop the sense of belonging, and consider that perhaps community issues, lack of cleanliness, vandalized infrastructure, and so on, arise not just from poor planning, but also from our own behavior. Also in the article was the Institute of Strategic Analysis and Policy senior researcher, Dr. Nur Hashima Hashim Lim, who said it's crucial for the public to be involved in the urban planning process and that the government, in order to encourage that, needs to provide more avenues and platforms for residents to talk about what concerns them. And essentially, we need to, or rather the government needs to work at building a good rapport, a good relationship with the local community. And then, all that said and done, we are back to the idea of decentralized governance and empowering local authorities. But I thought that this was an interesting summation in many ways of the kinds of conversations that we've been having for ages now. I think whenever we talk about KL, some of the perennial things that come up, aside from the traffic and the like, will always be to do with town planning. The fact that, you know, from the very beginning, Kuala Lumpur has been this sort of sprawling thing. We are now seeing that urban sprawl kind of spill out into the suburbs. And through it all, this question of how can we all take ownership of it? Where do we negotiate this boundary or this relationship between being citizens and wanting to improve the space in which we live, and then also asking the authorities, in essence, hey, you need to do your job. So we want to find out, I mean, how do you engage with city planning or with planning if it's near your residence, near your taman? Do you consider yourself an engaged citizen? Are you somebody who, you know, talks about or attends town hall meetings when there are development projects? Do you put forward suggestions? And if not, what's stopping you? That number to call is 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. On my part, I really do think that I could definitely be doing better in this regard. I think I talk about it more on air than I talk about it in my own life, I think. And I suspect that for many urban dwellers who are busy, who have one job, two jobs, perhaps attending these sorts of residential meetings and engaging with the sometimes quite protracted process can sometimes feel quite distant. But then I do also think if that's the case and a development comes up that you consider an eyesore in your neighborhood, if something happens and suddenly all the parking in your neighborhood is completely crammed, I don't know. I'm not sure how to negotiate the line between taking responsibility and being able to say, hey, I don't think that the local authorities did right by us. So yeah, how do you engage with town planning? Does KL feel like your home? What are you doing to make KL feel more like your home? That number to call, 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we will be hopping on with Hamdan Majid, Executive Director at Think City, to talk this through. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Bole for Malaysia. Ha.
BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
It's 5:12. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn, and we're talking today about whether there is a sense of belonging that might be lacking among KLites. We're looking at the story ahead, of course, of Federal Territories Day, and an article in Banama essentially pointed out that even as development continues in our federal territories, there is perhaps a lack of a sense of belonging and ownership among its residents. So we want to find out how to foster that, and also to find out whether you consider yourself an engaged KL citizen if you live in Kuala Lumpur. Share your thoughts. Call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. So joining us on the line now is Hamdan Majid, Executive Director at Think City. Hamdan, it's good to have you on with us.
Thank you, Lynn. Thank you for having us here on the line.
So a bit of a philosophical question to start us off, right? In your opinion, what makes a city a home?
I think what makes a city a home, it must be a place where it's definitely livable, in a sense that it makes you comfortable, safe, a place that you feel that what you call that you are in your state of zen. And at the same time, it must be a place that is lovable by virtue that, you know, it's something that you want to go to, the place that you want to be at. So essentially, for us, or at least our views, is about, it's all about making cities lovable and livable. And that's a sort of like a journey that cities go through in trying to achieve that aspiration.
So with that said then, do you think that the average KLite feels attached to the city? And does KL as a city have both those traits that you just talked about?
I think maybe we need to understand how KL as a city has evolved. KL is a rather new city that came about in the turn of the last century. And over the last 100 years, KL has dramatically evolved. Since independence, its population base has increased from 250,000 to over now KL Metro is about in excess of 8 million people. And that's a 30 times increase, and that's dramatic by virtue of any standard. So that pace of change that we have seen in Kuala Lumpur is something very extraordinary. And with that kind of pace, it comes in a sense that many people who have come are not people from KL, but are the people who have migrated to KL and made KL their home. And for many reasons, they probably came there for better jobs, or they came there for better amenities, services, or education, or whatsoever. But over time, these people have started to make Kuala Lumpur their home and hub. But however, you know, one of the things that we found in our work that is that many of the people who have lived in KL somehow are not fully attached to the city way, as you would have seen the attachment to their own places of origin. And that's probably has got to do with different factors. You know, either they are still part of the earlier generation that migrated in, or it could be the younger generation that probably grew outside in the suburbs as not to in the city itself. Kuala Lumpur as a city has over the last 3-4 decades, you know, and the population in the city itself have declined, while most of them have moved into the suburbs. So many grew up in suburbs, and the attachment to place, and there's a sense of place attachment. Now, the challenge for a city like Kuala Lumpur is that it has been changing dramatically every decade. Every decade, you see a new face of Kuala Lumpur. And with that pace of change that has come about, it's also very challenging for people to have place attachment. I believe going forward, the effort seems to be put in place with the aspiration of making a KL a world-class city, an aspiration of making a livable city. Now, obviously, the journey towards making it livable and livable is a glass still half full. Though there are many efforts are being put in place, particularly with regards to improving the infrastructure and connectivity. You know, over the last 20 years, we have seen a significant investment into building up our metro networks, improving the downtown parts of Kuala Lumpur, renewing some of our sites that have declined and so on. But much more needs to be done beyond the hard infrastructure. There's a lot of things that need to come from a soft infrastructure, you know, content creation, creating places of interest in the city. But you know, that's one side of the coin, in a sense that, you know, it takes great effort from not only from what I call the city managers, but people who also call Kuala Lumpur their home. It requires everyone in the city to actually take a piece and make that piece workable. At the end of the day, great cities are made by people, and people make cities. And it's a question now whether people in Kuala Lumpur feel that they are ready to make Kuala Lumpur a great place. And I think that's where the journey, where we are now.
Yeah, and I want to follow up on that, because based on your experience, do you think residents are generally engaged and interested in new initiatives, new developments, or changes around the city? Do you find that sense of engagement and ownership happening on that level?
I would probably say that the level of engagement is not necessarily high. It exists, and we can see them sometimes, you know, particularly in a localized environment. But there's also a high level of disconnect, in a sense that, you know, everyone just continues with their everyday life, and also sometimes they're not realizing that they can make a difference. Sometimes they don't realize that the powers that is bestowed on their hands, and how what they can do in terms of making a change, by virtue of the choices they make, by virtue of what they take in terms of action and so on. So there's much that can also be done by the residents of KL. To answer you, to say, I would probably say that the level of engagement is a lot more is needed.
We've received a pair of WhatsApps that I think are related. I just wanted to read them out and then have you respond,
sure,
if that's okay. So we have this from Sarah, who says, too busy fighting possibly illegal deforestation over building. And then Rose says, what planning? You know, Kuala Lumpur appears for sale to the highest bidder. Seriously, developers with deep pockets seem to build as they please. The analysis as to whether the existing infrastructure can support another 800 residents and their 2,000 cars, for example, that seems non-existent. I talk the talk and I walk the walk in protest marches, but as we all could, I can always do more. And I think both those messages from Ro and Sarah express a sense of discomfort over the kinds of development we're seeing in KL. How would you respond to that? I mean, how can we balance retaining the essence of KL and some of its wildness with progress?
I think while, you know, I believe cities have, in a sense that they have to follow their development trajectory, but it's also important that there is proper governance in place to ensure that that development pathway is one that fits to the needs of society at large, not to the few. And I think in some instances, this is always a big challenge, in a sense that is our plans that are in place are in the interest of the man on the street, or are plans there to what they call in the interest of those who own those assets. For my personal view is that, you know, while ownership of assets and land and buildings are a privilege, it's a right. While then to develop them is actually a privilege that you earn from society. And that, unfortunately, I think this is where that we say that, you know, earning the right to unlock value from your assets is something that requires co-creation with the larger number of people who, at the end of the day, will either benefit or lose out as a result of those development actions. Now, at the same time, we also want to make sure that we do not turn away everything, you know, in the name of protecting our own city. So we need to balance out in terms of what is the type of development that we need, and what kind of development that will make a difference to make a great Kuala Lumpur a livable and a livable city. Now, as progress has come, we have seen how our cities have become much hotter. It has become, and then how much we have lost our green cover, and how much we also have seen our historical character of our cities been lost. Now, at the end of the day, cities are made by what assets they own. And the moment eventually that we become like another Me Too city, then our raison d'etre of being that livable city or that unique city is then lost. And I think that's a challenge not only for Kuala Lumpur, but for cities in general. We need to take advantage of the assets that we have inherently. And these assets are nature, our location and our historical heritage, the people in our cities and so on. I think finding that balance about retaining our past and present at the same time preparing ourselves for the future is going to be the kind of challenge that comes about through proper governance. And by virtue of proper governance, that means that it comes through a process where the citizens are actively engaged and participatory in the process of making choices. And government's role is to create the platforms so that, you know, whereby this can be achieved and the outcomes then eventually serve the interests of the men out there.
So in line with that, because I also think that both those messages had a sense of disenfranchisement to a degree, right? It's like, okay, well, even if I get involved, if it's the powers that be, if it's about the money that's being pumped into the city, then how much does my voice count? So I guess that's the question, right? For the average citizen who voices thoughts about what would make Kuala Lumpur more livable and lovable, and if that doesn't necessarily rest in a multi-million building, does that voice still matter at this moment? I mean, is that something you've observed?
I think, you know, we would have seen there was a judgment recently, a day or two or 2 days ago, that the action by the residents of Taman Tun prevailed, and the voice of the majority seems to have prevailed, and the court had made a choice, and there were certain decisions that were made. So it's not all lost in a sense that if people engage in a democratic process, at the end of the day, you know, government is of the people, it's by the people, and it's for the people. And it's important that the process of democracy is made to work. And I believe that we have the ability to make our democracy work by constantly pushing and standing out to make our city a great place. And I believe that, you know, many are on that pathway. I just believe that we just have to be steadfast and keep pushing the envelope and the boundaries and finding a balance in terms of ensuring that that both development and progress doesn't come at the expense of losing what we cherish most.
What do you think would work best in terms of a feedback platform for people to be able to reach out to those who are actually developing Kuala Lumpur or making changes or planning in the city?
I think in the age of technology, obviously, I think creating a lot more open accountability and open engagement to allow for people to voice their views and for those voice to, and the, for the views to be heard is important. So creating platforms for that must be something that you need to invest. In the past, you know, it's always been difficult to get everyone to contribute to decision making. But we have seen how some other cities around the world, an example would be in Switzerland, every cantonment has got active participation of the citizen in terms of actively voting and participating in the choices. You know, so to some extent, they go more than 30 or 40 times a year. They actually participate in making those choices. And citizens on their part need to actively participate to make that process work. It's not only the case of the creation and the use of technology, but it's also the, you know, it takes two to tango. And if that can be put in place, you know, maybe there is possibly a better way how development that takes place is going to be fitting to the needs of the citizens, and also development that is going to be more beneficial. You know, we have seen around the city that today there's a huge glut in terms of supply of properties, and maybe, you know, the question that arises is that was those developments purely a market driven, or was it a plan led? And that's a question that we all need to ask. In a sense that, you know, there maybe there's a need to rethink this model of a market-led development to a more active plan-led model.
So, Hamdan, in closing, I wanted to know if you had a wish list for what would make KL more lovable and livable for you, what would it look like?
I would like a city where I could walk, where I could have chance encounters, a place that is pleasing aesthetically as well as to my senses, a place where what they call beauty is around me, a place that has got character and identity, and a place that I have a spirit of place. I find that, you know, a lot of modern Kuala Lumpur today is probably missing this in a big way. And I hope that, you know, we need to find ways that we can bring this back, you know, if, you know, failing which we will just be the same like many other cities with skyscrapers and towers that shows development and progress, but missing the element of what I call the soul of a place.
Hamdan, thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Thank you very much, Lynn.
That was Hamdan Majid, Executive Director at Think City, with some insights on how we can build a stronger sense of belonging to the place, in this case, Kuala Lumpur, in the place that we live in. So we're focusing on KL, partly because we are a KL-based station, but also because it is going to be Federal Territories Day on the 1st of February. So that's coming up on Monday. And with that in mind, do you consider KL your home? You know, do you think of yourself as somebody who is an engaged citizen of Kuala Lumpur? If not, what would it take to get there? And give us your wish list. What would make Kuala Lumpur a more, in the words of Hamdan, more lovable and livable city? That number to call is 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.